Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Amen. It's good to be with you today. It's pretty crowded out there today.
Good looking.
Good looking group of people.
That's us.
Have we got any Aggies in the group?
I grew up in Bryan College Station.
Good.
Do you have an
good
Aggie joke?
Yes. Three guys were out on a road trip. They're out in Arizona, and it's hot, and the car breaks down, right? They don't have a cell phone. This is primitive. So the one old boy from TCU, he disconnected the radiator and thought, well, I'm going to take the radiator with me because it's got water in it. Worst case scenario, I can drink some of this nasty water and survive. So then, I don't know where else. The old boy from Alabama. He says, well, I'm going to take the floor mats. And they're like, what? He says, I'm going to take the floor mats. That way I can at least hold it over my head during the daytime and keep the sun off of me. And at nighttime I can use it as something to lay on. Okay. Well, the third old boy, the Aggie boy, he disconnects the door from the car. And they're like, What are you taking the door for? He goes, well, if it gets too hot, I'll roll the window down. I don't know if that was any better than what Steve told last week. Last week was pretty good. I tried to tell it to Cindy, but I forgot a lot of it. It was funny. It was funny. I usually try to tie something to fire services, right? Well, today I don't have any slides, I don't have any visual aids, but what we're going to talk about has got to deal with ropes, holding a rope. When I was in Alabama, we had a dive rescue team. That's kind of an oxymoron there because it's really just a dive recovery team is what they do. But the dive rescue team, right? They're the ones that went under the water and did all their searching and stuff and, I don't know, did all they do down there. Well, me being the intellectual kind of guy I am, they said, here, you hold this rope. I'm like, okay. So we had an acronym. It was called OATH, O-A-T-H, OATH. We had an oath with each other. And so if he gave me one tug, that meant everything was okay. Or if I gave him one tug, he would give me one tug back, and that meant everything was okay. If he gave me two tugs on the rope, that means I was supposed to advance him some rope, give him some rope and let him go, right? Otherwise, I just kind of keep him on a leash. That way we can do a circular pattern, if that makes sense. Two jerks, you know, says advance. The third one was the T, and it says take up, right? If he gives me three jerks on that line, then I start reeling him in. And a lot of times I'm reeling him in, and he's just holding on, or it's attached to him. And then finally, the H is four tugs. That means help. And their thing was, if I give you any more than three, you just better come and help me or start pulling me up because I need help. So we had an oath in the department. And it was pretty important. You know, we kind of laugh, and, you know, they put the dumbest guy on the end of the rope.
Wow.
But you know what? When they went off into the deep water and they said, you get down there and you can't see nothing. It's just nasty and murky, and all they can do is just kind of feel. It's pretty important that they know that someone on the other end of that line is there to help them or save them if need be, right? So it was pretty important that I held on to that rope. I just thought it was funny that they said, okay, Brian, you hold the rope. I'm like, okay. I'd be like, squirrel, and the rope's over jerking, you know. Maybe they figured we have a thing called the big rock. That's what they would attach ropes to, right, when they're, you know, delving off on stuff. And I was the rope guy, so I think they thought I was the big thing that would hold a rope. I want to speak to you this morning from Acts to kind of set the story. We've seen a little bit of it in that movie last week, and it kind of spurred some thought in my mind, and as I was reading it, we see that Paul has had his encounter with Christ, right? And he's told to go to Damascus. And so he gets to Damascus. He can't see. He doesn't eat. So he's just there. Then, after 3 days of being blind and not eating, the Lord sends this fellow by the name of Ananias to him, not to be confused with the other one, this guy. And when I was reading that, I thought, I told Cindy, I said, this is a perfect sermon too. I said, here you got this guy that all we know about him is it says he was a disciple. That's all we know. Now here's this guy that's just a guy, and he's told, hey, you're going to go over here, and you're going to meet Paul, or Saul. You're going to meet Saul, and you're going to pray for him. Okay? So it's like, you want me to do what? I mean, because Saul had a reputation, right? He wasn't just another guy. He was a cat that watched Stephen get stoned, right? And he had orders to go and get him by all means necessary, right? So Saul was a pretty feared fella at the time. And here's God speaking to Ananias and saying, hey, I want you to go over here and meet this guy. He's like, oh, come on now. You know, you want me to do what? But he did. And that's the cool thing about that is he went. He obeyed God. First off, he heard from God, right? That's important that we hear from God. Second thing is that he obeyed the Lord and went in spite of the fear that he had. And then it's kind of cool that when he found him, he put his hands on him and prayed for him and called him Brother Saul. Now, you know, here's this cat that, and when I was reading some stuff on it, you know, he still got blood on his hands in a sense. And he calls him Brother Saul. So he had compassion on this guy and loved on him, right? He got his sight back, went and got baptized. He prayed that he get filled with the Holy Spirit right then too, right? So there was a miraculous work done just by Ananias's obeying the Lord, his obedience. So Paul gets baptized. He's full of the Holy Spirit. Now he sees, and he starts preaching to the Jews there in the synagogue. Well, the Jews there didn't like that very much. And this is where we're going to pick up in chapter 9, verse 23 through 25. I'm going to read it right here because I broke a cardinal rule, Pastor. I didn't bring the PowerPoint notes. I brought my own personal notes. I'm a PowerPoint bad boy, I guess. Verse 23 says, after many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him, Paul, Saul. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. So they're wanting to get this guy, right? Okay. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. Is that it? That's probably it. So the followers took a rope, took him through the hole, and lowered him down. I'm going to give you four things that we see from this. Point one, the people holding the rope were just ordinary people. I was just an ordinary guy holding on to the end of a rope while some cows were down there swimming around in the water. These people here were just ordinary Christians. They weren't known other than the Christians that were there. And really, other than Ananias, we don't really speak of or hear from anybody else in that town. So these were just ordinary people that God used to do a mighty thing, right? We don't know their names. We don't know their occupations. We don't even know, actually, if they were Jews in the town. They could have been anyone in the town that were followers of Christ at the time and helped. By far, I think when we get to heaven, by far the greatest number of people that will be there will be just ordinary Christians that had an impact on the world around them. When I was thinking about that, I was thinking about Billy Graham, right? Just passed away. Think about all the lives that he touched in his life. And the other great ministries that have flourished, well-known ministers that have had thousands and thousands of people come to know Christ through their ministry. But that's just a small drop of the number of Christians that have an influence on people. So just because we're ordinary people doesn't mean that our impact on the world or our bearing on the people around us is any less. We have a great calling just in the people that we know in our little sphere of influence. So just because we're ordinary people doesn't mean that we don't have any less responsibility than the Billy Grahams of the world. Great men. You know, I'm not bashing them by no means. But the point is that they're ordinary people is what really makes the gospel spread. Amen? Ordinary people that are praying for other people. Ordinary people that are meeting the needs of other people. We've all heard the story, you know, the praying grandmother or the praying mother or father. You know, that's just another mother or father praying for their child. That's really, who are they? Names will never be known. But their prayer can have more impact than anyone else in this whole wide world. And then when you think about who we touch, then those people can touch another person. So when you get to heaven, you know, you may not realize it, but there could be a whole host of people that came to know Christ because you were kind enough to witness to minister to, or to pray for just this one individual. That's pretty good. I mean, I think it's pretty awesome. So ordinary people can have an impact on people's lives. Point number two. They held the ropes in the darkest hour. It says at nighttime they wanted to sneak him out, right? Because they were watching the gates. So they waited till nighttime to sneak him out. It's in those darkest times in people's lives that they need us the most. Have you ever noticed that? That people will live a life and not even think about Christ. But as soon as they get to that point where death's at their door or a catastrophe has hit their family, now all of a sudden, oh dear God, help me. You know, the flesh in me, we prayed a little bit about that this morning. The flesh in me would say, you know what? Where were you at the last 50 years of your life? You know, you kind of get what you deserve. You know, you sowed all this, now you're going to reap all this. But Christ says, you know what? I love you no matter what. And if you call out to me, I will hear. And it isn't funny, too, that when we deal with other people and we try to intercede for other people, it's usually not the most convenient time in our lives. You know, Saturday mornings is usually not my favorite time to go do stuff. But when we have stuff that we go out and minister to the neighborhoods, to the community, we go do it, right? Because it's a ministry unto the Lord. Meeting the needs of other people isn't always on your time schedule. And it obviously wasn't on these people, because what are you doing at the middle of the night? I know what I'm doing, and if you call me to come hold the rope in the middle of the night, you better have a good reason. First off, if you could wake me up in the middle of the night to come hold the rope, you know, I might come do it. But these guys came out there in the middle of the night when it's sleeping time to do what they needed to do to help the apostle, right? So sacrifice is required. Sacrifice is required by ordinary people. Point number three. They held it optimistically. They had no idea what was going to happen, right? They had just seen some fruit in Paul. Saw, you know, whichever one you want to use there. They saw the fruit in him as he preached in the synagogues and became powerful in that. But when they put him in that basket and they lowered him down, they had no clue what the future held for them and or him. How many people do we know that are in church or have been in church, faithful to God, powerful ministries, and have fallen beside the way? And today they're just kind of a wreck of a person because they've messed up that ministry. They've messed up that testimony. Even if they're not in the ministry, people that loved God, faithful to the church, now they're backslidden, living in a world of sin. So these people had no idea what was going to happen when they let him loose. Was he going to go back and persecute the Christians again? Was he going to go on and continue with the gospel? They had no idea. And us today, when we minister to people, we don't need to necessarily think about, well, what are they going to do? You know, why should I go bless these people? Why should we go out and knock on their doors? Are they going to come to church? Probably not. But so why am I even wasting my time? Why don't I just send out a flyer? That'd be easier, right? Stick a stamp on it and send it. It would be easy to do that. And if they come, they come. That's not the attitude that we should have. The attitude that when we minister to people, we're ministering to them to let them see the love of Christ. When we go put something on a door or talk to people about coming to church, our attitude should be, hey, you're going to come to church because I just have faith that you will. And that faith can be great. And it builds up in us. And I believe people see that in us as we go out and minister to them. When we pray for, I know we pray for our boys. I know you guys do too. It's no secret that my two sons are not living right. And many of you pray for them. Do we just give up praying for them because, you know what, they're lost. They're never going to come back. No. We have faith and believe. We stand on the Word of God. That we've trained them up right. And when they get older, they won't depart. They'll come back. We believe that. So we stand on that. And we stand on that for others in our church. So we don't just pray for God to bring healing to people's hearts and lives or their bodies. We don't just pray that the Lord would bring them back from a place of sin. We believe that God will. And we continue that. We have a positive attitude, right? Steve's preached lots of stuff about positive attitudes. The other thing, these guys didn't know what was going to happen to them. Because once the officials found out that they had snuck him out, were they going to come in there and now, you know, be mean and ugly to them guys? They didn't know. But by faith, they did what they knew they had to do the right thing. Amen? What point was that? 3.4. They held on patiently. Now, it doesn't say how high this wall was. It could have been a short wall. It could have been a tall wall. But I would imagine based on what we see and we've learned about cities with walls and such, it was probably a pretty good sized wall. So they lowered him down. And they were patient. They didn't just let go when they think, okay, well, that's probably far enough, you know. You know, it's a 50-foot wall, and we've let him down 40 or 10 foot. He can handle that, right? Let him go. No. They held on until he was on the ground, until they knew he was on the ground, either by looking outside there or there wasn't nothing pulling on the rope anymore, or he just gave them what? Three tugs, right? Take up? Yeah, not a whole bunch, but just the three take-up tugs, right? So they were patient and they endured through it. And that's the way we need to be as Christians today, is be patient with those people that we're praying for. Like I said, with our boys, we just be patient with them. You know, Lord, all I can do for them boys is pray for them. All we can do for people is pray for them. You've heard the story. You've heard the saying, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. A lot of times in people's lives, all we can do is pray for them, because it's not what we can do for them other than prayer. It's what God can do for them and what God will do for them. And we just pray that the Holy Spirit would do a work in those lives, right? And that somehow, some way, that would make a way in their lives. The same way with giving help to other people. There's a church there in Southlake. It's just a non-denominational church. It's been probably 5 or 6 years now. Every month, they bring us over for dinner, each shift. So 3 times a month, they'll bring us over to the church and feed us dinner. Some of them guys just, we don't want to do this. You know, I just stay at home and eat. I'm like, hey, it's free food, you know. It's one, it's free. Two, I don't have to clean up after it, you know. So we go eat for free, then we get to go back home and go to bed. Don't have to clean up. But what's impressing to me about them is that they're stay with it. They've continued to do it. And I know that there's times we show up and there's just a couple of them there, you know, and it's just bare bones eating. Other times we show up and there's a whole host of people and it's some pretty decent food, you know. But they stayed with it. They were patient and continued on. They didn't just give up on us. And that's the way we need to be as Christians. We need to have that tenacity that once we sink our teeth into it, once the Holy Spirit has put it on our heart, once God has laid it in our minds, this is what we need to do, this is what I need to do, then we just go with it. And we go with it until the Holy Spirit says, okay, we're done. And then we can be relieved from that. Amen? We need to have that tenacity, the don't give up of it. Don't quit praying for people. Don't quit praying for people. Sometimes I get so mad at them boys, it's like, I can't believe you do this, you know? It's just, I can't tell you how sometimes I get mad at them, you know? If I knew I wouldn't get in trouble, I'd probably slap them around and maybe even choke them to death, you know? But I know that's not the right thing to do. So I have to, it's just a feeling, yeah. So I have to get over that. Like Steve said last week, the old man detector, it'd be going off big time around the house, you know, with the anger going on in there. But we can't give up on people. Amen? So what were the results of what they did? All they did was simply let this guy loose, right? Well, if they hadn't let him loose, they would have taken his life then. Two-thirds of the New Testament would have never been written. That's pretty awesome, right? Think about the people that we pray for. Think about the people that we love on spiritually. What will they do in the future? If we give up on them now, then have we missed a blessing? Are they missing the blessing? Is the world missing a blessing? And then we see that Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles, right? He took it to us. He took it to the rest of the world and the ministry. And that was over, 2,000 years ago when all this stuff was written. And today it's just as powerful as the day he was in the prisons writing this stuff or dictating it. And if those guys hadn't been willing to do what they did then we may not have what we have today. And it's the same story with people that we know. We got to love them because we never know what will be with them or what impact they may have on life. It's like Billy Graham. Somebody, I don't know the whole story, but somebody witnessed to him. Somebody led him to the Lord. And it was probably somebody that will never, ever know this side of eternity. But think about the blessing now when they get to heaven and they realize, oh, wow, I witnessed to this guy and this guy spread that gospel to all these millions of people. I believe there's a blessing there for that individual as well. And that's something that we can do as young as I am or just a little bit older than me than you are. We can love on people. We can invest prayers in people's lives. And the impact we may never see on this side of glory. But one day we'll get to stand before God and God will say, look here, you see all those guys over there? Those are the people that you prayed for because you prayed for this guy. You loved on this guy. You fed this guy a meal one day. You mowed his lawn one day. You just said hello and was his friend. And he come to know me. Amen? That's pretty awesome. So in conclusion, I did have a conclusion today. Ordinary people make differences in people's lives, right? People like you and me will make more of an impact than anyone else. Keep holding on when it's not convenient. I know Cindy has told me this, and it's just happened to me a few times. You know, you wake up in the middle of the night, and it's like you need to go pray for somebody. Look at the clock. Oh, well, I'll get up in maybe 2 or 3 hours. You know, I'll pray for them then. You need to go pray for these people. Oh, come on now, you know. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting up in just a few minutes. You need to go pray for these people. All right. That to me is inconvenience, right? But serving others isn't always about what we want. It's not always about what we think is right. Don't worry about the future. Can we really worry about what impact people will have if we're praying for them? No. What if we have someone come in today that we don't know, that's just maybe not what we visually think is appropriate, maybe even stink a little bit, maybe even talk some dirty stuff, but we feed them a meal? Are we going to worry about, well, what are they going to do when they leave here? I think about the stories, you know, where you give people money on the side of the road. Well, if I give them a dollar, all they're going to do is go buy some beer. That's the first thing, you know. I'd rather go take them to the McDonald's or wherever and feed them a meal than to give them a dollar because I think, oh, well, they're going to go give, you know, buy them some alcohol or some drugs and such. We have a gentleman that comes to our door. He's been coming to our door for many years now. I believe he's a man of God. But there are times when he comes to the door and Brother Williams, black guy, he says he has a church over on the north side, or he's part of a church on the north side. And we talked many years ago for in length about all this. And so when he comes to the door, I know what he wants. He wants money. So the other day he came and it was cold. What day was that? Saturday? Whatever day it was really cold. So I go to the door and it's Brother Williams. I said, hang on one second. So I told Cindy, I said, give me some money. So she gives me money, hand it to Brother Williams. Amen. Bless you, brother. Have a good day. We go on. And Cindy and I have talked about this before. Well, are we really supporting a church? Or are we supporting just whoever? You know, what are we really supporting? Well, you know what? By faith, we believe, based on what we had said, talked to Brother Williams about before, that we're sowing into the kingdom of God. If it's not going there, that's between them and God. But in our heart, we're giving it to the Lord. So I don't need to concern myself with the future of whoever I'm blessing. Amen? And then be patient and stay the course. Don't give up. It's easy to give up on people we don't know or people we don't necessarily love. It's kind of harder when it's our own children, right? But when it's someone we don't know, it's kind of easy to forget to pray for them. It's easy to give up on them. But we need to stay the course. Don't give up. So it's people like us holding on with tenacity, not worrying about the future and ministering to others when it's really not what we really want to do. When you get in the mindset, I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm really not doing it for them, but I'm doing it for the Lord. Then we can have that peace that comes and says, you know what, it's okay. It don't matter. I didn't get to sleep all night. That's okay. The Lord's going to bless me in other ways. You know, I miss my Saturday, whatever. It's okay. God's going to bless me in the week anyway because I gave it to him. Amen. Did we learn something today from these people? I hope we did. I know it was short. I know short and sweet. Amen. I'm going to let Brother Steve finish it out. He's going to finish the sermon.
Okay, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and hang on. There, see, I told you I was going to finish it out for you. All right, well, we're so glad everybody was here, and we're excited about the fellowship and how good looking y'all are and all of that. We're going to go down to the MPB. Yeah, MPB, I got the initials right. And have our potluck dinner and just continue the fellowship. So if you have a prayer request, just give it to me in a few words. We don't necessarily have to have the whole situation. Just say for a healing or whatever it might be. So, yes. Healing for you and David, okay? There's an old Jim Logan. We need to pray for him. Buddy. Is in the hospital. He might get out today, but he had a heart procedure yesterday. He's on his way home. Okay, good. Thanks for that update. So we can take him off the list. No. We're going to pray for his recovery. How about that? What? Or stay the course. That's what we're going to do. We were listening to you, brother. What? All right. Healing for Paula and her family. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, let's just take all these to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to pray a general prayer so I don't leave anybody out. But, Lord, you heard every one of these names. You know all these situations. Every one of these needs healing and recovery and your watchful care over them, Lord. And just restore them and just bring them back in our fellowship, Lord. And we just thank you that you're a prayer-answering God and a God that is eager to heal and listen and move and send your grace and your healing and your life and your blessings our way. Thank you, Lord. And we're praying your blessing also upon this food as we go eat. Bless it in Jesus' name and our fellowship. Amen. And be happy.